appreciate that. Just want to remind everybody to make sure that they have their microphones to where they can hear in the on position. If you, we want to have some. We've got three or four items on the agenda tonight. We want to have some discussion. Make sure that if you would that we address the chair so that we can make the committee move in an orderly fashion. So the first order of business on the agenda that I have is to recognize Sheriff Tim Riles in the Sheriff's Department. He is Sheriff to talk about a couple of items that we'd like to talk about, specifically regarding the, I guess first off what I'd like to talk about, Sheriff, is the spreadsheet that you're going to be providing to us.
Correct.
So I'll turn it over to you for a moment.
Thank you, Justice. Dana's going to hand out some, actually I've got a stack of information. You can just start passing them out here. The first is actually an organizational chart so that the court will actually know how we are divided and how we are broken into as far as a unit. And so that first page, that's what that's about. That's just general information. And if you flip over to your second page, okay, this is going to be, this is a typical, what we're going to use as a chart to give you guys on a monthly basis what our head count, what our average of our head counts, and obviously we're here because our number one concern is overcrowdedness in our, especially in our Unit 1 facility, which is a maximum security unit, which is right next door here. This will give you the head counts at Unit 1, and it also shows you the capacity. So you'll see at the very beginning of it, the detention facility on the stat, average head count, Unit 1. The capacity is 118. In January, we averaged 160. Now, as of this past Saturday, we're at 158. So we're staying right about 160, so you can, whatever that calculated difference is, 160 to 118. To 118 is how much we are overcrowded here at Unit 1. And it works the same way all the way down. Average head count at Unit 2, capacity 218. We have 141 there. The average head count of female capacity at Unit 2 is 71. Our capacity is 88. We're housing 71. And the average head count juvenile capacity is 16. And in January, we averaged 5 there. Then it goes down and it talks about the inmate intakes and the inmate releases. We took in 628 inmates last month. We released 596 inmates. And I won't bore you with this. The rest of this, I think, is the patrol stats work the same way. And then the criminal investigation department, the open cases, closed cases, and actual number of investigators. One thing we did do in this is that we did show in our patrol the average of reports per deputy. I think that might be useful to you guys as well. And average number of calls for service per deputy. So we broke it down all the way to the deputy status. So when we come to court in the future, we will also have a breakdown of the individual crimes of what we have worked for that month. I will have that. I don't want to overwhelm y'all with paperwork. I want to give y'all an overall picture of what we are continuing with here at the Sheriff's Department.
So, Sheriff, this will be something that you'll be providing to us on a monthly basis, so probably we need to talk about the process of getting so what I'd like to do is present this to Courts and Public Safety.
Yes, sir.
Each month, and that way we can ask specific questions or whatever, and then also have it ready for the full quorum court next week. Yes. So that all 13 members can review it then. So typically they would pass the information to Margaret and she would include it in our packet. Would that be something that the sheriff can do? So instead of Sheriff, you and your staff having to do all this and everything, just get the information. Once we look at it and see if we have any adjustments, then you just get the information to Margaret before the quorum court meeting. Would that be appropriate?
If he provided that to her before the meeting, she could put it in the package, yes.
Okay. Okay. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that would work.
Okay. So typically then is what we would do to establish the cadence is that just like you did tonight,
right.
Bring it and we would discuss it anything. And then once we're okay with everything, then full court.
Yes,
Counselor?
If you'll send that to Margaret and copy me, it's my staff or my assistant who puts the notebooks together.
Okay.
So we'll get it in there.
Okay. All right. So we'll come to the committee. Anything that y'all may want to look at or add or subtract or anything like, we can make that adjustment, and then we'll forward that adjustment to to your office.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Ms. Wally?
Is there a certain time frame that we need to provide that to Margaret?
Typically, all information needs to be to her by Friday before the Tuesday. I think the transparency ordinance says by noon.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's what we want to stick to.
Does that work okay for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Margaret needs hers by then. I need mine just before the meeting.
So, committee members, any questions when you look at this information? Because we want to give feedback to the sheriff. We want this information to be useful to you. Justice Pickett, do you have a copy of this?
I'll get one later.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you wanted to take a look at it and offer input as well, because I know we talked about it in budget and finance previously. I'd be more than welcome to have your input.
Let me contact you and the sheriff at some time.
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, the first thing I see is the obvious overcrowding of Unit 1, which is no surprise. How are things going to Unit 1, Sheriff?
Definitely overcrowded. And, I don't know what else to say. I have a plan. And here's the thing with the overcrowdedness, and this is what I'm going to go into, unless you want to discuss more that's on that sheet. I'd be happy to do that. But since we're on overcrowdedness, the things that concerns me is officer safety, and also inmate safety, and also our lawsuits that occur. I've got a stack that was actually right by my desk that is this thing of lawsuits in 2 years. Now, they're not all dealing with overcrowdedness, but there's a large number of them that are dealing with large crowdedness or overcrowdedness. So that's also an issue, and we do have a plan. We have a plan in that aspect of what we feel as a sheriff's department, what we need to do, the first steps that needs to happen in order for us to correct this moving forward. And I'll be happy to share that with you guys if that's y'all's desire.
Okay. So I want to come back to that in just a moment.
Yes, sir.
I want to finish up with the spreadsheet itself. So the information that we have here for 2018 and for 2017, I see where you've gone back and filled out some of the information. I also see where some of the information is not readily available, and I'm certainly not wanting to put a burden on you. The middle section here under patrol and under criminal, is that information available for 2018 and 17?
It will be. It's time-consuming to make those previous years to happen today in this court.
So that's all I want to know. So that will be forthcoming, Sheriff. I'm not necessarily looking for a time frame that you have to have it by the next meeting or anything like that. As long as I know that you guys are working on that, if you get it to us, in the next month or so.
Yes,
we're just wanting, as we progress through the year, just to see how we're comparing, year over year.
Yes, sir.
And then, of course, I assume we'll be keeping this going forward.
Right, exactly. And we went back 2 years. And it's just to show if there's a trend somewhere, if we can see that trend. That's what we're trying to make happen.
Okay. Very good. All right, any other questions about the spreadsheet or the information that the sheriff has provided?
I like seeing your numbers in here, like the number of deputies you have and stuff like that, because I haven't compared to other Class 6 counties, so I don't even know, do we have an adequate amount? Do we have way less than other Class 6 counties? Do we have way more? I don't know. So that's something I'm going to go back and do homework on. But I appreciate you putting that on there. And I think it's important, too, the number of vacant positions, because 10 vacant positions over at the jail seems like a lot of people to not have, And I know that's one of the most dirtiest jobs you can do in this county that's probably underpaid as well. But that's interesting to see.
That was one thing that I was going to comment on was the officer safety. I'm sure a lot of people in here have been inside of Unit 1. Sometimes there are fights, there's anything you could imagine, and you're rushing into a cell. A lot of times these officers are running there by themselves, and there are 15 or 20 or sometimes more violent detainees. So, I mean, it is a big, big, big officer safety. The last thing I want to see, and I think any of us would want to see, is one of our employees get hurt. It's overcrowding is definitely a safety issue.
Justice Boyer?
I wanted to thank the sheriff for initiating this and bringing it forward where we can see it. Not that we couldn't see it before, but
yes, sir.
I'm proud of that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Transparency, you know, and that's what we want. We want people to realize and to actually, unless you come in and you walk through our jail and you look at this overcrowdedness, or if you get in a situation like Justice Shock had just mentioned, an inmate having to go, of course, we have protocol, and no inmate goes in by themselves. But if there's a literal emergency with an inmate that's been critically injured or substantially injured, to have more help on that floor and in that area, and like you said, when you're down 10 detention officers, that's time for us to be able to get. And there's other aspects we will get into in a minute with doors and how we can secure people and those kinds of things, that this depleted detention facility here at Unit 1 is the doors and those things are obsolete. They don't work anymore. Some of them don't even have the locks on them. It's amazing. I mean, you think a maximum security unit. And when I say they don't have locks on them, I'm talking about interior doors where we can isolate them. Our exterior doors obviously have the locks, and they obviously work well. Cameras and things like that. But we'll get to that.
Okay. Justice Lehowski, I'm going to save you a little research time.
All right.
I'm fixing to do you a favor.
Do it.
I have here a 2017 Faulkner County Sheriff's Department Patrol Deputy Staffing Study that is multiple pages, and you can't have this one. But I bet if you ask Ms. Woolley real nice, she'll provide you one. Do you still have this?
Pretty please.
And so it's not exactly current, but it's current enough that will help with your study.
Thank you very much.
And if any of the other justices want to, I bet she'll provide that as well. Okay. Sheriff, we're through with this. Appreciate that. So let's go to your next topic.
Okay, the next office, the next item is just a plan. How do we fix the issues that we've got going on? Where is our priorities at, and what do we see as the working agency there? We need to take phases at a time, and the very first phase for us is to reduce the population. That's the first one of the very first things. Now, there's some things in here we can do simultaneously while we're reducing population, but we have to get that population down for a number of reasons. We have areas within our jail where we have a cell, and inside this day room cell, there's a door that goes in, you walk in, it's a day room, it's got a table there, it's where the inmates can come out of their individual cells, not that they're individuals, the two different areas in the back will house anywhere from around 8 to 10 inmates back here in these isolated rooms. It's those doors that won't lock and secure anymore. But whenever they come out, so that's an issue with that. So there's items like that on the locks and things we could be working on and replacing, but we got to get in there to do it. But in the meantime, when there's supposed to be 8 inmates in a isolated or into a pod or into this jail area, we literally have, Captain, how many's in some of these facilities?
Up to 18 in the cell.
Up to 18.
It's designed for 10 to 12 people.
So that overcrowdedness, in order for us to go in there and be able to work on locks and do the welding and do the reframing or readjusting doors to get the locks to fit, and putting the plexiglass in to make these secure, these are things we need that needs to happen over here. But in order to do that, we got to reduce the population because we have nowhere to put them. Why would we do this for them? You know, out of this pod, you empty 18 out, they're all crowded. What are we going to do with the 18? You know, so it becomes an issue. And but our phase one is...
So let me just be clear, Sheriff. So you can't take the 18 out and put them in the next pod where there's already 18, where there should be 10, and now all of a sudden you have close to 40 where there should be only a dozen.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And so... First objective is to reduce that population. And so we've come up with some interesting ideas, Captain Reed Mueller, myself, and the chief, looking at the possibility of creating a justice coordinating committee where we could get great minds together and actually discuss and think about the things that what we could actually do. Justice Higgins, you may be able to help us in the aspect of how all that outlines, and also David. But we have researched into some depth, and we're looking at putting on this committee, if we had a committee, having a circuit judge, having a district judge, a chief of police, potentially two chiefs of police, a jail doctor, probation, prosecutor, myself, and to sit on this panel, to have conversations of what can we do to be able to reduce our population. What are things that we can implement in other agencies, whether it's Mayflower, Greenbrier, Valonia, that can help us in slowing down the flow of some of these, of some of our inmates. So, or any other ideas. So that's what this committee we would like to look at developing would be doing. The second step, while we could also be doing this, is transfer of Arkansas Department of Correction prisoners. We hold the state prisoners here, and there is a lengthy waiting period sometimes for them to ever get shipped back or go down to the Department of Corrections. We're actually holding them here. But while we hold them here, the Department of Corrections reimburses not us, but the county, back into our general fund, is my understanding, $30 a day. It costs us $45, or almost $45 a day, to house an ADC prisoner. We get reimbursed, the county does, the $30. So we're losing $15, the county is. But there are areas around the state that would actually like to, they like housing ADC prisoners because they get that $30 a day. Well, it's costing us money. And how they can house it and they actually make money on it, I guess that depends on how their detention facility is, probably smaller and how it's set up. But there's other areas that we are looking at, maybe reaching out to other areas and getting our ADC prisoners to them and spread them, those ADC prisoners, out through other agencies around the state.
Sheriff, how many of those ADC prisoners are we talking about?
You know, on average, we will house anywhere, it's fluctuated between 80 to...
Yeah, 73 today. 74, we just found one that didn't report.
So, I've seen it as low as 60, but I've seen it as high as 80 or 90 ADC prisoners. So
you could obviously empty out a couple of pods working just by removing them.
Well, yes, potentially. And there's another area I'm going to speak about that actually is how we do a classification of these inmates and why we have the inmates we have here.
Justice Kendrick, do you have a question?
Yes, sir. Sheriff, do you think we could add the number of ADC prisoners we have in our little spreadsheet here? That way we could see that?
I think we could.
I think that might be helpful for us to see.
We can add that.
Would that be possible to do, if y'all think it's a good idea?
Yeah, sure.
Sheriff, do you have a rough guesstimate on how much money the county has paid for the inmates, the ADC inmates? That y'all never get back. Do you have any idea?
I don't know if we have a totality. I don't know if we've ever calculated that fund, that amount up. Miss Angie has
it. So that reimbursement goes back into county general. It doesn't go into a jail fund. It goes back into county general.
No, it's our expenditure, but it goes back into the general fund and spread out.
According to the 2019 projected revenue for county general, the jail fees is projected to be $737,500. And that does go into county general. We've discussed that with state auditors about where the revenue is going into. And according to them, because it's a general revenue and not specialized by any special law, it has to be going into county general.
So that's the transfer of ADC prisoners. Now, also getting with the judges and looking at the nonviolent misdemeanors and no victims, get with them to look at who maybe we could turn loose or put on some type of probation. We're looking at ankle monitors, you know, anything like that. And we're going to get some prices of some of those things. Ankle monitors would be a good source to be able to get them out of our jail, put them out back into the community, and the ones that's nonviolent, and obviously. Anyway, these are things that would be discussed with this committee as well. Also, reclassification of violent
tendencies. I'm sorry, Justice Good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This might be a question for Chairman Higgins and for Chairman Pickett, but is there a way that 700,000 that she talked about, I mean, can we not account for that monthly and create a fund for that to go back into in the Sheriff's Department? I mean, if we receive it in monthly, can we not reappropriate it back to the Sheriff's Department if we set up a dedicated fund? I mean, it sounds like legislative auditors just saying because there's not a fund there.
Well, the discussion that I've had with the auditors is that the county has traditionally counted on the reimbursement of ADC inmates or housing inmates as a revenue source for county general revenue for the year. And so when you look at the projected revenues, it's counted upon as a revenue and not as a reimbursement. And so it goes into county general and helps support the county general's budget every year.
But is that semantics? I mean, if we're calling it revenue versus reimbursement, can we just change the...
Councilor Holt?
If you track that revenue, I don't see. I'd look this up, but if you track that revenue into County General, and every month Mr. Sampson comes in with a report of how much revenue we got from ADC for that, then obviously we could put a line in the monthly appropriation ordinance that says we appropriate that money back out to the Sheriff's Department.
I mean, it may not be doable this year since our budget's already set, but going forward, I mean, it's a question. I don't know if it's a good idea.
So you'd be correct. That would be a budget and finance committee question.
Okay, very good. Pass the button.
Justice Pickett. And to be Justice Pickett. Transparent, I wanted to point out, if someone wanted to say, okay, well, we don't get the $737,000 back to the sheriff's office or back to the jail, our budget for county jail in county general is right over $2 million. So, I mean, ideally you could say we do get it, but it's just a portion of our budget. So I just want to be transparent.
Just pick it.
If you want to track revenues, you're going to track expenses too.
Yeah, that's good.
So that $2 million is going to be, you're not going to put it into county general if you're going to track the revenues out. I don't think it's going to be to your advantage. Does everybody understand there's two sides to the ledger? There's a revenue side and there's an expense side. You have to treat the revenues and the expenses equally. So earmarking the revenues, and I'm sure Mr. Sampson would argue the same thing. We're going to do the same thing for expenses. And I don't think the sheriff's office would come out ahead.
Fair enough.
I think the only way to come out ahead would be for you to write a $15 check for each inmate for the state to keep their own.
Exactly. Yeah.
Take care of population.
We'll just pay them to keep their own people, and we won't have to keep them. And we'd come out ahead. All right.
So if the... So also that with the reclassification of violent tendencies, and of course that's how the inmates are divided up. That's what the difference by this classification process that we do now, right now, it divides the nonviolent from the violent. And the violent can go back maybe several years. If there's anything in their history that shows that they've had any type of violent tendencies, they come over to Unit 1. Facility in our maximum security unit. By separating them over to our Unit 2 facility, it really helps reduce the turmoil and the issues that we could have over there with with fights and that kind of stuff. Not that it does always, but it really does reduce them. Captain Ringmuller saw a big difference whenever they started using this new classification process. But I'm thinking, instead of going 5 years back, why don't we go a year back? Or maybe the last time they were incarcerated, and let's try to take some of these and put them back over there and watch it and see what happens and create some space here. But all of these things, it's like I said, the Justice Coordinating Committee, these are things that we can all talk about there. The second thing that needs to happen is to replace and repair the interlocks and repair the doors that's in the jail. And then the third thing is cameras. Those are the things that concern me the most. Those items that I just listed when it comes to officer safety, our detention officer safety, inmate safety, and reduction in our lawsuits that we're seeing. We're winning them, but we still get sued. One of the other things that needs to be discussed at some point is jail fines as well. And not just jail fines. I'm talking about jail fines in our municipalities throughout the county here in Conway. And so if y'all got questions about that, there are people in the room that would be able to answer that. What we're actually drawing and what we should be drawing are two different things as well, and who we're drawing it from.
So I think, Sheriff, that may be something for a future Courts and Public Safety Committee meeting, that you help educate this committee on that.
Okay. All right. And if I could, I just want to say that when we talk about replacing these door locks on the jail, we have an estimate on what that would cost for that to happen. And that estimate is $40,000 on these jail lock doors. And then on the cameras, which we have dead spots all throughout our Unit 1 facility here. And I'm also going to say, also now, after this past couple of weekends, the exterior cameras, we need some work on for security purposes around our jail. And we've got we reached out and looked at a estimate for the cameras that we would need to redo the cameras just in the Unit 1 facility, and it's $57,000. Now, I know I'm talking about putting money into this jail, but just briefly, the reason we put money into this jail right now would not be a waste for the future, because at some point, we have to have a new maximum security facility for these violent inmates, and it needs to be over there where the Unit 2 facility is, and all connected, and everything's there together. That's ultimately what needs to happen at some point. And if that ever does happen, the operation of this facility could actually be used as a juvenile detention facility, which is needed statewide, even maybe out of state, that they could come in and we could house juveniles here. Now, juveniles on the other hand, creates a revenue stream, in that they pay $100 a day to hold a juvenile inside of a facility. So if we were ever expanded, then we could open this up to a juvenile facility statewide, and then I don't think it would be any problem at all, because it is in such high demand for facilities to hold juveniles right now. And this could be utilized as that in the future as well.
So a question for Captain Riedmuller right quick. So I assume you're doing, do you guys do video arraignment here from Unit 1?
We do it at Unit 2. The video arraignment is only at the first appearance. They're held in booking after arrest until they do their video arraignment.
So
here, and they're assigned to housing units.
So here's where I'm leading to. So how often do you transport maximum security prisoners from here, Unit 1, over to Unit 2 or the Justice Building?
Daily,
all right. So the deal is, we have a minimum and medium security facility where we walk inmates across the parking lot to the Justice Building when necessary. But our most violent offenders, we have to expose officers by loading them up in a vehicle and transporting them several blocks and then unloading them and all of that. So having maximum security prisoners closer to the Justice Building and the video arraignment would actually be an officer safety improvement, was
sure.
Not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And public safety.
Yeah, and public safety. We expose ourselves to some risk by having these maximum security inmates moved around that way.
Yes.
And that's just the nuance of how we've evolved with Unit 2 and the Justice Building. I get that. But I just wanted to let the new members understand we had some exposure there.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. What else, Sheriff?
That's all I've got for right now.
Okay.
We are overcrowded.
All right. So, committee members, any questions for the sheriff?
I do have one question, Justice. On this committee that we're looking at potentially doing, who would appoint to this committee if it were created? Who would be the one appointing all these individuals to it?
Well, we have actually spoke with all of these folks.
Okay.
We've actually spoke with volunteers to come on board with this. It's not necessarily an appointment.
Gotcha.
Judge Clausen, mm-hmm. Judge Carnahan, Jody Spradlin from Conway PD, Gene Earnhardt from Greenbrier, Gary Stewart, who is our doctor, Dana Alberson, who is with Probation and Pro, Carol Cruz, our prosecuting attorney, myself, and that's who we have as of right now, who has committed to go, to be on this board. So we've kind of got our ducks in a row, and we're just waiting for... Chris, there was a... How does it operate? Is this committee, would it be something that would fall underneath Courts of Public Safety? Is that something y'all would call on, or how does that work? What's this committee?
We could. Counselor, we've talked about that. What would be the best approach?
Yeah, this committee is a statutory animal, first of all. So let me distinguish between this committee and some other things. This form of court creates and is empowered by 1414905, I think, boards, both advisory boards and administrative boards. We're going to talk about those boards a little bit later. When Sebastian County, for example, that since this is a statutory animal, some other counties have already created such a committee. When Sebastian County created such a committee, they created it by using the local government code, 1414905, I think it is, and in my opinion, they did that wrong because it is not a local government board or advisory board or administrative board. So we could follow the example of a few other counties in the state, but in my opinion, those other counties did this wrong. This is a committee, not a local government board, and by that fact, you guys create the committee by ordinance, and then it is not something that the county judge appoints and is confirmed by the county court or the quorum court, like a lot of boards are here, or that the county judge has any involvement in. It's strictly a committee formed pursuant to state statute, and they don't really report to they're a committee under state statute. They don't really report to anyone.
So do we need to move forward at some point with the ordinance when the sheriff is ready?
I would strongly suggest I can have if you guys said we want to create this committee, because this is easy to do. If you guys said we want to create the committee that he spoke about, it is such an animal of state statute, I can have you an ordinance ready to pass in the next quorum court meeting, and you could do it that quickly. I say that because of this. We've already been talking about this. It's easy to do. It doesn't take, all these positions are positions that what we would do is create kind of whoever is in this certain position. District judge de facto is on this committee. Circuit judge that's in charge of the criminal docket, de facto on this committee. So these are all de facto positions. They're not subject to appointments. They're created that the certain position is already on this board, this commission, committee. So if you guys say that you want to do this, I can have something ready at the next quorum court meeting that quickly to do.
So Justice Kendrick, one answer to a question we haven't asked yet, because I've been meeting with this as the de facto chair of the Courts of Public Safety Committee, I would represent the quorum court, if that was your next question.
I actually was thinking whether there would be a quorum court member on there.
And I think we've had that discussion, honestly. Yeah. I don't have it on the list yet, but until we kind of filter through here.
So. Justice Boyer.
Yes, sir. The committee would be subject to change because these are primarily elected positions, correct?
Sure, yeah. So, if a district judge is, if Carnahan goes off of district judge and somebody replaces him, that person would be the new member of the committee.
Part B. And also, Sheriff was talking about the juvenile part of our law enforcement system. Is there a juvenile judge included on that committee? And could we put a juvenile judge?
You could put one on. You're getting dangerous when you have more than two judges on one in one room discussing about something, I think. That's half a joke.
So that would be the third judge on there. And then I see what you're saying, Justice Boyer, but then you get into docket issues as far as pulling two circuit judges out at the same time.
So I agree, yes, you could put a juvenile judge on there, but I think that, in my opinion, juvenile would be represented with the two judges that are on there. But
Justice Pickett?
As in Carnahan has done some juvenile.
Now, we're talking about a committee to advise the sheriff, not to advise the quorum court. So let the sheriff appoint his own committee rather than us as a quorum court creating more paper. And the sheriff can ask whoever he wants to serve because it's just an advisory to him rather than, and I want to emphasize, it's to the sheriff, not the court.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree with you, Justice Pickett. I think the only question would be the state law informing the committee if we're going to do it legitimately. Is that an issue?
What do you mean?
I guess the question is, does the quorum court need to generate an ordinance to make this legal?
Yes. The quorum court would create the committee, and it would be a very simple ordinance, and that's why I'm saying generally I would want a committee such as yourselves to see the language of the ordinance and study it and draft the language and tell me what you want in the ordinance and so forth. This ordinance wouldn't necessarily work that way because the ordinance would say Faulkner County Quorum Court is building a committee under statute XXX, and it's about as simple as that because the statute lays out the groundwork for the committee, not
that us. Would report to the sheriff. That would advise the sheriff.
Yeah, it's a committee that advises the sheriff. The committee may give some recommendations to the quorum court. The sheriff, that's up to the committee as to how they ever communicate with the quorum court. But it's a committee to bring, and just to wrap all this up, it's a committee to bring in all the stakeholders in the criminal justice system so that when we talk about fines and fees and we need all the local jurisdictions and such on the same page about paying the appropriate fines and fees and getting them in the right funds, we've got some stakeholders to do that. If we want to have a discussion in that committee about reducing the population in the jail, we've got the prosecutor and a couple of judges to get on board about how we're going to affect the bonds and such and bail bonds and so forth to get people in and out of jail a little quicker. That's what that's for. And then either the committee or the sheriff can come to the quorum court and say, we decided such and so. It gets everybody on the same page so that the controversy is in that committee as opposed to in this body.
Okay, so to form, you know, this, and you said you could have it ready as fast as the next quorum court meeting, but my question is, I don't have a problem in just a second to entertain a motion that we pursue that, but I think this committee would still need to review it and have a conversation with the sheriff before we would be prepared to take it to the full court. So question is, do we want to have the counselor work on that and have a Courts of Public Safety Committee meeting before the quorum court meeting so that we are prepared to present it? Would that be the proper steps,
counselor? I think that would be great. And I think it's, of everything that he just said and everything you've heard tonight, the easiest part to do and get the rest rolling is that committee. So in my opinion, the sooner you get that done, the better, and I think it would be appropriate to have a special meeting to do that. Before.
Yeah, that's my concern is if we wait until March, and then we're into April before the committee can meet and everything, and I don't advise that we go that far. So sure. At this point, based on the discussion, I would entertain a motion so that we can discuss further. I would entertain a motion that we support the sheriff in his request to form said committee.
I'll make a motion.
Have a motion?
Second.
Sorry. Justice Boyer got a second. All right, so any discussion about the committee? So I think, as part of this, we would request Councilor Hogue to have the ordinance prepared so that we can review it at the Courts and Public Safety Committee. Now, I know there is a road committee.
Infrastructure, yes, at 6:30.
At 6:30, so would you guys be prepared to meet at 6? So if we could schedule a Courts and Public Safety Committee meeting for 6 if this passes here in just a second. Is there any further discussion?
Sure.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Chair,
yes, ma'am.
I just wonder, and Attorney Hogue, I'm just wondering as I listen and as I listen to some discussions down in Little Rock around similar issues, I just wonder having not read the statute that you referenced, but just listening to the discussion tonight, in terms of representation of stakeholders, and you seem to have a fine panel there, but I'm just wondering, does the statute allow, or has it been in your discussion as to an intent to expand and allows more of at least one person at large to participate?
We have discussed that, and that will be a part of it. Up to now, that's who we have confirmed to come in and sit on the panel or on the committee. But we have discussed about having someone lady from the community to be able to come in and sit on the committee as well. So this isn't a totality as yet of everybody, but it will be by committee meeting.
Okay, so the counselor.
I will have the ordinance ready. I'll email it out to everyone as soon as I can have that ordinance ready, which should be easy to do. I think I've already started on it. For the JP's knowledge, I will be at a training in Chicago next Tuesday, but I will be attending this meeting electronically.
Okay.
So I'll be watching it on Facebook Live, and I'll have somebody here holding a phone so that if I hear you guys ask a question or anything else, I can respond to you. And so I'll be here, but basically Skyping in.
We Skype you on the projector.
I don't think they want to see me that big.
Or a little cutout and just prop him up over there?
I might do that.
Okay, thank you. All right, so any further discussion on the motion, which is to form the committee? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Sheriff, so that carries and we'll move forward as discussed.
Okay, all right.
Anything else for us?
Captain, Chief, Angie, is there anything that I haven't mentioned that I don't have wrote down that I'm forgetting to say while we're here?
I would want to point out that with the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee, that is one of the things that the criminal detention reviews findings were, that they recommended that we use that, and kind of the elephant in the room is that they gave the county, not just the sheriff's office, but Faulkner County, until December, a deadline to come up with a working plan going forward with what we're going to do with our jail system.
Yeah. And that's what the judge, he kind of mentioned,
spoke about it at the December meeting.
Yeah.
And spoke briefly about it at the last meeting.
So
Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee is the official name that we're going to be calling?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay.
And that's all we have.
All right.
Justice Higgins, I do have one more question. On that, speaking to the cost of the potential upgrades at Unit 1 for the locks and the cameras, should we be expecting an ordinance for the appropriations for that coming to our committee, or how's that going to work? For my lack of knowledge,
I think today what that is this is today, and what I had asked the sheriff to do was provide us. I mean, this is our first meeting,
right?
So to provide us a start of what we're going to be looking at between the data in the spreadsheet and the information that he'll be sharing with us on a regular basis, so that we don't get sticker shock with him immediately coming in here and asking for just under $100,000. So I think this is more informational, and then we'll be moving forward to help support you.
Correct.
Is that
okay? Yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Very good. Good. All right. Okay, Sheriff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. The next order of business. So I have proposed ordinance. No, I'm sorry. I have ordinance 1816. This is the transparency ordinance. And so I'd like to revisit this. We talked about this in our last. Here, pass those around. So we had some discussion about the transparency ordinance and revisiting. And revisiting basically the intent of the transparency ordinance, which I believe was sponsored primarily by Justice Boyer, and some of the consequences and unintended consequences of what we initially intended. So a couple of key areas here. So let me first preface this with, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the transparency ordinance. I think the intent was very positive, and we're going in the right direction. I think the discussions that we've had in the past is that we probably need a little bit of tweaking. Would you agree with that, Justice Boyer?
I agree with that, Justice.
So primarily, what we have discussed is that maybe this has been too restrictive or overly restrictive as it applies to committees. Is that, would you agree with that?
Chairman, I would agree with that, yes.
Okay, so do you, would you like to talk about this, or do you want me to, I'd be glad to turn it over to you for a moment.
You've got the football, you run with it.
Okay, so so as we look at things, as we look at section three or paragraph three, I think this has been the sticker, again, going from previous conversations that we talked about this, is all documents and proposed resolutions and ordinance shall be submitted to the Secretary by 12 noon on Friday preceding quorum court committee meeting and by 12 noon on Friday regarding regular court meetings. I believe the quorum court committee meetings part of it was what was causing some issues. Quorum committee meetings are a lot more fluid than the full court is. I can tell you, as being a committee chair now for the last 6 years or whatever, there's information with committees that comes in on a regular basis. And I think it's very appropriate that a committee chair provide an agenda for a meeting. For example, if we're going to talk about the sheriff's office, I think it's appropriate that I send information to the secretary and say that the sheriff's office is going to be on the agenda. Therefore, those that would be interested in attend can. I think it's appropriate if we're going to talk about the animal shelter, that it's on the agenda so that those interested in talking about the animal shelter know we're going to be talking about that and they can attend. My concern is providing all of the documentation and everything before the meeting, and here's why. That, in the committee part of it, that information is very fluid, and today, the day of the committee, I received information today. I think it's very appropriate to have that information ahead of time for full quorum court meetings because we're going to be voting on resolutions and ordinances, and we need to have that information out to the public. We need to have that information out to the quorum court members so that they can review that and contemplate that. But I think for committee members, having all of the documentation and everything in advance several days can constitute a little bit of a challenge. So my recommendation, just as to tweak this, is that we figure out a way to word this in such a way that, yes, we need to provide an agenda so that we know what we're going to be talking about, but we don't necessarily hold ourselves as nearly stringent for committee meetings. So there's my initial input. Just a second, Jack, and I'll recognize you, but I want to get input from the committee first.
I don't want to step in the wrong direction. I don't think we're doing that by doing this. I just want to, you know, because you said before, the committee meetings are where we do the meat and potatoes work. It's where we flesh all this stuff out and throw it all on the table and we talk about it and everything else. And you hate to get to that full quorum court meeting and then 17 new people showed up that have never, you know what I'm saying, that have never heard anything about it, and then all of a sudden we got to go through it again, which is fine, but I would love to just throw as much information out there as we can to prepare for those committee meetings so that interested public could see, oh, well, they're talking about this. I need to go to this one. You know, and I think that goes back to the agenda like you're talking about.
Right.
If we can put in here that we're going to publish an agenda and it's going to be published by this time or whatever, I think that's great. Like you said, it gives us more flexibility in the committees to do what we need to do and to bring that new information forward, because you'd hate to not include information just because you got it yesterday.
Right.
Well, we can't talk about this because we didn't publish it or whatever.
Right. Does Boyer, any additional feedback from you?
No, I concur that the committee meeting part of documents and whatever, need to strike that. Case in point, this evening, 30 minutes before, I received information. So we don't know when you're going to get it. You expressed that you received information today about the committee meeting tonight. So that's not something that we can plan ahead of. When we're waiting, when there's information pending to be given to us to bring to the committee, we don't have it. We can't just cancel the committee.
Right. So I think the difference would be, for example, if we had, let's say that we have our agenda that I sent to the secretary. We're talking about criminal justice and detention update. We've had that discussion. Review the transparency ordinance we're discussing now. After this, the next item on the agenda is to talk about the proposed ordinance for animal control. We're going to talk about the animal control and shelter issues. Those are on the agenda. What if I decided to pop in, and you know what, we're going to talk about pay raises too. And maybe the appropriate people and department heads are not prepared or not even here to talk about that. So do I necessarily have to have all of this information They're getting this fluid that's coming in, as long as we know what we're going to talk about. So my thought is that maybe we consider changing the wording, is having all of the all documents and proposed resolutions and ordinance shall be submitted to the quorum court. That's legitimate. We leave that. But maybe we have another section in here that says that an agenda must be prepared and submitted of topics for committee meetings. That would be my suggestion. Yes, ma'am.
And do I understand that the chairperson is going to create that agenda and get it to the secretary?
I'm not so sure how that works is really that important. And I'll say that with as Courts and Public Safety Committee chair, I've always done that.
Right.
I think on Budget and Finance Committee, not to speak for Justice Pickett, but I think that oftentimes that information is prepared by the treasurer and oftentimes by the county clerk. And then Justice Pickett may formulate that, and if he wants to add anything to Budget Finance, he can. So I don't want to say the chair has to provide it. I just think it needs to be provided. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, I just know that, you know, Margaret may not have the information as the secretary. If she doesn't, how she can't prepare an agenda for a meeting if
no,
that
I think
information
I,
is
no,
not
I,
to
I agree
her,
with that.
So.
I think the agenda... The overall agenda should come from the chair. Yes, so I see your point. So I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Okay. That was just something that she and I had discussed, that mm-hmm. she, you know, that she can't provide an agenda if the chairperson doesn't provide it to her.
She's not telepathic, is she?
No.
Okay. All right. Jack, you have a comment or question?
Well, I can understand that committee meetings should be exempted from having to provide supporting documentation. I think what Justice Boyer said, you get a phone call on the way in and maybe you have information that changes it. But I think that all of these agendas should not only limit what you can talk about at the meeting so a subject doesn't come up that wasn't expected, but they should also be published. They should be given to the secretary. The secretary should publish them so that the people out here get to see what the subject is. Same thing goes with the with the quorum court meeting. Everything that's going to be looked at a quorum court meeting should be on the agenda, and the documents that support it should be published by the secretariat on the website so that individuals who are interested can download those documents and know what you're talking about when it happens.
So I don't disagree with you, and I actually believe that that's being done.
I can only say this, though. The secretary is only as good as what she gets. If she doesn't get it, she cannot provide it. So,
right.
That being said,
I don't think all the ordinances, resolutions, and supporting documentations are being published. Now, I can't speak for Margaret, but I don't believe they are, because that's something I had a note on for this particular ordinance, is that maybe create a section that says all ordinance, resolutions, and supporting documentation. It says this ordinance, our current ordinance, says it has to be provided to Margaret, but it doesn't say Margaret or the clerk has to publish it for the public. So I would like to see something like all ordinances, resolutions, and supporting documentation shall be published on the Faulkner County website. Let's just say, I don't know how much time Margaret would need, but by close of business on the day it's due to the county clerk for the public to review. And maybe we could add part of that would be the agenda be published for committee meetings mm-hmm. like that to add that requirement in there, because I do think it's important for the public to be able to review all this documentation.
No, you make a valid point, and as I read this, that's something that we did not read into that, but you're right. We have to provide it, but there's nothing that actually requires Margaret to do anything with right. the information.
Right.
I think that was the intent, but there's nothing yes. specifically right. says that.
Okay, are you saying publish them on our website, like faulknercounty.org? Are you saying send them out in a public notice?
I mean, those are
different things.
Right. Me personally, I would say, I mean, you have the email that notifies the JPs and has all that attached documentation. I would assume that would continue. But specifically what I'm speaking, I don't know if any of the other justices have a different idea, but I would say publish it directly on the county website so it's out there for everybody to get.
So we might need to seek some logistics from...
Because Margaret already has it. By statute or by ordinance, she has to have the information. It's just right. not necessarily required to be published.
I have another point to make.
Just
IT is actually the ones that publish to the website. So right. they would be the ones, you know, of course, not that Margaret can provide it to them, but it's up to them. They publish to the website. Also, like, say, Margaret does the appropriation ordinance, but David does this ordinance that he's going to present or whatever, then, you know, where does it come in? Who, if you're making the responsibility to the secretariat, then you got to make sure that...
Okay, so let me do this. I'm going to regroup here for just a moment, Justice Boyer. So what I'd like to discuss tonight, because this is not an emergency. This is something that we need to address, but it's not an emergency. So let's address tonight what we want to do, the intent of what we need to do. And then at our next month's meeting, once we kind of get this outlined, then let's get IT here and Margaret here and say, this is what we would like to do. How do we do it? And then we can formulate, I think, in that two-step manner, formulate an ordinance that'll work. Do you think that would work, Counselor?
Yes, I think that's... I'm praising God over here for the fact that you said that, because otherwise we would have a big mess.
Yeah, I think
and,
so.
And if I may add in, I would caution everyone to be careful. From my perspective, if you make this so that you can't discuss anything that's not on the agenda... I mean, if you just follow kind of a Robert's Rules of Procedure system, you're going to have new business and old business and so forth. How do new ideas ever come up at a committee or quorum court if the only thing that you can ever discuss is what's already on the agenda, and my quorum court members cannot discuss that kind of stuff outside of the committee meeting? It seems to me at some point, at some level, you have to have a time in a committee meeting for Tyler Lahosky to come in and say, "I've got this, you know, great idea, and I'd like us to discuss it next time." I think the better language, instead of "we can't discuss anything that's not on the agenda," would be "we can't vote on anything that's not on the agenda, but we can certainly bring in new ideas to go on to the next agenda," because he can't contact the committee chair outside of a public meeting to say, "This is what I'd like to have on the agenda."
Okay. Okay, just Boyer, do you have some additional comments?
I did, yes. And we're talking about the preparation for the quorum court meeting with documentation. What we do next Tuesday, when we have a courts and public safety meeting before quorum court meeting on an ordinance that we're going to talk about, then we have to wait another month before we can vote on that, because we didn't provide the documentation to the public about what we're going to talk about next Tuesday?
I think we can go ahead and put that on the agenda for the quorum court.
Is it going to be prepared by noon Friday to be published?
Looks to me, well, I don't have to this time because you're not passing anything, but in general, yes, I would have to at that point. Now the problem that I'll come up with is what happens if some of these deadlines aren't met. I mean, we've already seen, since this ordinance was passed in 2018, we've already seen lots of meetings where we didn't necessarily make these deadlines and we still discuss things and so forth. In my world, what you do with that is you say, you know, if the quorum court votes to
waive the rule.
You can waive a rule for an emergency. You can waive rules all the time. So if the quorum court determines that something is important enough that it needs to waive the Friday rule, then that may be a good thing to put in here. And obviously there's got to be a balance between the transparency, which is very important, and the efficiency, which is also very important.
We don't want to put ourselves in a corner.
That's right.
I agree. Especially if your name is... Oh, come on. Don't put blank in a corner.
Oh.
Okay. All right, so here's what... So here are the notes that I have that we will talk about the next meeting. So in other words, we need to have the committee. The committee should provide an agenda. All right, so we want to include that in the ordinance. Needs to be published so that the public can see it. So we'll figure out how to do that. Potentially can't vote on an item that's not on the agenda, but that does not prevent us from discussing it or bringing it up, a last-minute issue. Okay? And then lastly is we can have some type of wording in there that we can waive the rules with an articulable justification. You know, I guess that's the emergency clause is what that would be if we need to declare an emergency.
Waive it.
That's right. So we would have that option. You know, that's something that, you know, that we do very irregularly. We don't do it often at all. There's waiving rules on that.
One other thing that we might consider, I don't know, I just noticed it just because it's new and or I'm new to this process, is that do we want to put some type of requirement in there to publish meeting meeting notices for the committees after, like, a certain time frame after they're scheduled instead of waiting till the Friday before? Because they could be scheduled, say, infrastructure. It's already been scheduled, but there hasn't been a notice. And the only reason I found out about it is because I emailed Margaret asking her, are we going to have one this month? Is that something we would want to look into doing to say, within so many hours of it being scheduled with the clerk, could we publish that notice?
Can I say there's
yes,
a,
ma'am.
Sure. There's a law that requires that it has to be published so many hours before, correct? I mean.
So you can what you're talking about is there's a law that says that you have to publish the notice so long before the meeting. What you're doing though is making it stricter and
correct.
Say we need to publish the notice of the meeting so many hours or days or whatever after its first set.
Correct.
And now, I mean, I don't have any legal problem with that. I think that very quickly, I always advise against the quorum court or anybody I represent creating rules that restrict you. In my world, if I represent you, you shouldn't create rules that restrict you too much, because you're just going to end up waiving them and breaking them and so forth to make yourself efficient. On the other hand, you also need to be careful about putting so many rules about what needs to be published and so forth. Remember, Margaret has another job.
Yeah, and so here's one other issue that I'd like to bring primarily to the new guys is we don't have to ordinance everything.
Right.
And we can do resolutions. And resolutions, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, this should have been a resolution to begin with, in my opinion. And we didn't think about it at the time. And a resolution is a gentleman's agreement among the court to do something. So we made this a law, and we have already violated the law. You know, and there's not a, you know, go to jail for 20 years, you know, consequence for breaking this law. So this really is not much, it doesn't have really any more teeth than a resolution would have. So that's just, again, that's just my opinion on this. I do think we need to clean this part of it up. But there are things that we can bring up that we don't necessarily have to have this ordinance be two or three pages that doesn't preclude us from having a resolution saying we all agree to conduct ourselves in this way when we conduct business. So think about that when we're having procedural issues, that maybe we need to do a resolution on some of these. We can actually have an ordinance and then have a resolution tied to it that these are the things that we want to do.
When you say procedural, I would almost even love to go back and throw this in our organizational ordinance, because that talks about how we conduct ourselves as a quorum court. So to me, this almost belongs in our organizational ordinance somewhere. That's just my thinking and opinions, like you said.
No, I get that.
On the same point, if I may, there's several statutes out there that say the quorum court will do X, Y, or Z absent the quorum court creating procedural rules on this point. Case in point is the point about chairman of the committee. There's two different schools of thought. The Attorney General has said two different schools of thought over the years on that. And maybe it would be a good idea, instead of worrying too much about a detailed procedural ordinance or transparency ordinance, to have an ordinance that says these are the procedural rules of the quorum court, and we agree a resolution that says we resolve to follow these procedural rules. And some of them are transparency, and some of them are how a committee works and where things are introduced in committee and so forth. That would be more easily amendable, and you find everything in one place. I know Mr. Kendrick has talked about a couple of different transparency ordinances. All these would fit in the same category. And for ease of the public and you guys finding them, it would be good to put all these into one organizational ordinance, kind of like we have a personnel manual ordinance. The ordinance does not say, here's the whole personnel manual. The ordinance says we have a personnel manual, just like we have an ordinance that says we have a budget, and it is a separate thing. We adopt it. That's probably what I would suggest here is you have a resolution that says we adopt these procedural rules, and just like you adopt the budget and you adopt the personnel manual.
Okay. Jack, did you have a question or comment?
Just one comment to Mr. Kendrick. The county has at least a partial calendar out on the website. If that calendar was up to date, then every meeting would be listed, whether it was scheduled 2 months in advance or the required 96 hours. So anybody who was interested could go out and look at a calendar if the calendar was dependable. Maybe that's what we need to look at, rather than requiring people to do things and do paperwork. Just submit it to the calendar and know that anybody who looks at it will know when you're meeting them.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything wrong with, like, the chairperson when they set, when the chairperson and Margaret sets a meeting, is there anything wrong with them notifying the members, at least on that meeting, or notifying IT that it needs to go on the website? Is that
the chairman doing that instead of giving it all to Margaret and letting Margaret do it?
Correct.
Nothing legally wrong with that. It's just a matter of who's going to do the legwork.
It's more, I see what you're saying, but to the point is, I think we need, in the ordinance, so that we don't overcomplicate it, I think we would need wording that says we need to publish it so the public can see. I don't think in the ordinance we need to say, and it needs to be on Facebook. Because to be honest with you, that technology could change in 12 months.
Correct.
And the new thing could be something else. Or putting it on, you know, I mean, if we wrote this same ordinance 10 years ago, it would say, and post it in the Log Cabin Democrat. And like 8 people are going to see that. You know, so we need to, I think we need to publish it and not necessarily say how. That would be a process.
I think at that point what you've got is we're down to how to write the resolution or the ordinance. And if you guys give me, and this is kind of the general way of things here, but if you guys give me your intentions, then I'll draft you up a resolution or an ordinance, whichever one you want, and try to make it so that it will withstand some time. That's kind of what my job on that stuff like that is. And so I wouldn't obviously post it to Facebook. I would say give public notice of the meeting.
Right.
But if you guys give me your intentions, then I'll draft it up in a way.
Okay. So to wrap this up, this particular topic up, where we are with this, I think we'll invite Margaret and IT to the next meeting, and then we'll carry this discussion further based on the notes that I had and see how we can process that. So, just Kendrick, I think you had some additional topics on this that you wanted to bring up or not?
I did on transparency, yes.
We're on transparency, okay. So I will turn the floor over to you for a moment.
Sure thing. I've got a couple of ordinances that I'd like to discuss relating to transparency. Yes, sir. Okay. One of the items that I would like to address, I've drafted a proposed ordinance, and this one is on specifically on an open and transparent bidding and contracting process. I don't know, Mr. Hogue, if you'd like to read this, or do you want
sure.
me to explain it?
Yeah,
or,
well.
Okay.
I'll skip the title since we're in committee. Section 1, ensuring that all bid and contract information shall be placed online, allows residents to know how their county government is conducting business and spending their tax money. Transparency is essential to building public trust and ensuring citizens are informed. 2, all bids and contracts shall be posted on the county website and shall include the following. Bid RFP title, bid RFP document description, date posted, due date, all bidders and bid information to include winning company, bidder, bid amounts, initial contract period, renewal time frame. Section 3, all the information required in the above section shall be posted within 10 working days of final bid award.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hogue. And basically the intent that I have behind this and that I've tried to outlay in this is I'm just wanting to bring some transparency to our bidding process here within the county on things that have to be bid and just putting some basic bid information out there for the public to see, including, you know, the bid and RFP title, RFP document itself. So what are they actually bidding on, when it was posted, when the bids were due, all of the bidders that actually bid on it, and then the winning bid, and then the contract time frame and renewal period, if applicable. And this, and one of the ways I got this idea, and just looking at some other counties, I did that, but it's also one of the items that's been called out with on the Acre Transparency Index as something that Faulkner County was lacking in. And I thought this would be something to bring forth to the court to discuss, and I think it'd be a good thing that we could provide our citizens to know that we have a open, transparent bidding process, that is being done fairly, and that all the information is available for everybody to review, so there's no questions on who's getting these bids and how they're getting it, that it's done fairly and equitably. And I'll open it up if anybody in the court has any questions of myself or comments. Yes, sir.
Justice Pickett.
All this information is available now.
Where is it available at, Justice?
The judge's office.
Exactly, and it's not available to the public readily and easily and available online, and that's what this would do, is put it out there. So it's right on the county website. We don't have to call anybody. We don't have to ask. Our county governor is being proactive to serve our citizens. That way they know it. And so that's the intent behind this.
I think it's a step in the right direction.
Have you received any complaints from anybody because of not being informed?
No, sir. I have not received any specific complaints addressing this issue. But it's one of those, you know, it's one of those that there was a couple of transparency things that I saw, and you really kicked it off, Justice Boyer, last year when you introduced that transparency index, and just having the county move in that direction of open transparency with the citizens, and I just thought there was a couple of them tonight that I saw that could potentially keep moving us forward in transparency, and just wanted to kind of piggyback on the movement that was started by you. So,
okay, so here's what I would entertain a motion at this point. I would entertain a motion that we table this to the next meeting to give the committee members time to review this. I think probably what we need to do is distribute it. Let me think about this a second. I don't know. Justice Pickett, it's really a transparency deal. Is there any reason that the Budget and Finance Committee would want to look at, does it cause any issues regarding finances? I don't really see that it does.
I don't think so.
Okay.
You can get on the judge's bidding list and receive all the information if you're interested in selling county concrete or automobiles or whatever.
Right.
Or the sheriff's office. I mean, you can contact.
So what we can do is, as we entertain the motion to table this in just a second, but what this would also do is I would bring this up in our overview of the Courts and Public Safety Committee meeting at the next quorum court to let the court know that this is, we're being discussed. We can share that with them, and at the next meeting, I think this committee would be prepared then to actually debate it after they've had time to read it.
Sure.
Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
So I'll entertain a motion to table this to the next meeting.
I will make that motion.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
All right. Have a second. Any discussion on that? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Justice Kendrick, good job with that, and we'll review this further.
Sure thing.
Okay.
Thank you. Step in the right direction also.
Yeah.
Question, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Is it this committee that's having a meeting at this point just before Tuesday night's quorum court meeting?
Yes.
So when you say the next meeting,
this will be the next full meeting. This won't be on the agenda for next
that's,
week.
That's what I thought. I just want to clarify.
Yeah, when I send the agenda out, the only thing that will be on it will be whatever it was going to be about.
Yeah, that whatever it was. Okay. Okay. For next Tuesday.
That's correct.
Gotcha.
All right, any other discussion on transparency?
I do have one other ordinance if you're
that's
ready
on
for
transparency?
Me to do that. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, this is another financial transparency-related ordinance. I'll read the title, and I'll let Mr. Hogue read through the different sections of it. But it's an ordinance ensuring an open and transparent financial and spending system of county operations. If you'd like to go ahead, Mr. Hogue.
Sure. Section 1, ensuring that all county spending information shall be placed online, allows residents to know how their county government is conducting business and spending their tax money. Transparency is essential to building public trust and ensuring citizens are informed. Section 2, all expenses shall be placed online on the county website for Faulkner County citizens to review so that they can see how their public officials are spending their tax dollars. Section 3, all the information required shall be categorized by year. The information shall include year, month, payee, amount paid, and fund source. Section 4, all the information required in the above section shall be updated monthly. Section 5, the data is not intended to supplement or replace any financial reports or audited reports. Any applicable financial reports or audit reports shall be posted to the county website within 2 weeks of being received.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Basically, the intent I have behind this one is this would establish basically an open checkbook system for the county. We've seen this happening. We've seen it happen in Conway recently. We've seen it happen with UCA. Other state institutions and local county governments are starting to use, for lack of a better term, an open checkbook type system that puts all of our expenses out on a website that is readily available and searchable to our public residents. And that's basically the intent behind this one. I was trying to leave it fairly high level. And if y'all have any comments or questions or discussion points, feel free. And I will say with both of these ordinance, I'm not looking at establishing some type of huge cumbersome system that's going to require additional personnel or a lot of money. I mean, this could be as simple as posting an Excel spreadsheet out on the county website. So I'm not looking to create this huge cumbersome system that's going to cost all these resources that we don't have. So I'm trying to keep it simple. I'm trying to get this information out there readily available for a public in Faulkner County to review and know what the government is doing with their tax dollars. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's great, and I appreciate you working these up and bringing these to this committee.
Question for you, is this all funds or just county general funds?
That is a good question. At least the intent, well, at least the way it's written right now, it would be all funds. So if that's something we need to look at, address, or concerns,
Ms. Woolley would be interested in having to supply the information.
There's actually reports you can run FI that will categorize it exactly as you ask.
Okay.
Because I actually have printed them myself for our record.
That would make it even easier than an Excel spreadsheet.
The process of uploading them to a public forum would be what would be additional work, and running the report and posting it would be where the additional work comes into play.
Okay.
I believe FI will print what you're asking.
I mean, my assumption, Justice Pickett, was putting it all out there because it is all public tax money, and I think they should be able to have eyes on all of it, so... If anybody has objections to that or counterpoints, we can talk about it.
Okay. Any additional questions, comments?
I'm never one to suggest spending money that doesn't need spent, but if I trust what I just heard from Ms. Woolley to be correct, if we can run this report from FI, then we could probably modify our contract with FI, because FI is very proprietary software. We are in touch with the people who create FI software and so forth, and we might could, if we wanted to, put a little bit of money into getting FI to make something that you hit a few buttons and it uploads to the internet. I don't know whether that's possible or not, but we're in constant contact with FI, and if it's worth the time and money, it might be easy to do. I don't know whether it would be or not, but it seems like it might be a better idea to spend a little bit of money to modify that contract and modify our software than it would be to task some employee who has plenty to do already with scanning it, creating an Excel sheet, or who knows what, and putting it out there. So that's just something to think about, but that's not...
We can run reports all the time on each other and see what each other spends
all
the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to...
PDFs, so you don't have to do anything.
I'm personally open to that, Mr. Hogue, looking at that option. Is it possible from that system to export that data into an Excel spreadsheet, something that simple?
Some of the reports. Their security is going to allow that to go public. They're on lockdown. I don't know about. She was talking about having like Pentagon and security. I don't know if they're willing to.
I've been begging for Excel exports, and they say no. You can.
I don't know if they're willing to give that out to public. Yeah.
Well, even a PDF. I mean, if
PDF
the
PDF is all there.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha. So that's okay.
So. Any other questions?
I think that they would possibly create an Excel spreadsheet for us, but they might charge us to do it to mm-hmm. a specific. Now, there are specific reports that you can export to Excel, and okay. there are some that you cannot. Now, you can request that they do anything, but if it's something that they're specifically doing for this county, they might charge us to do it.
Okay. So, Justice Kendrick, here's my suggestion on this one.
Yes, sir.
As well, I would entertain a motion that we table this one until the next meeting. A couple of questions. I think we've already talked about whether all funds are county general. I think we've clarified that one. I think while we have IT and the Secretariat here next month, let's talk about the logistics and potential cost
okay.
so that we make sure that we make a wise decision.
Right.
Again, I agree this is a step in the right direction. Give us time to study on that.
Sure.
So I would entertain a motion that we table it to the next full Courts and Public Safety Committee meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Very good. So let me move.
Excuse me, Chairman.
Yes.
You mentioned all funds being the part that the most questionable, whether or not it's all funds or just general county.
Yes, I think in the discussion, all funds are not going to be that difficult, but that'll be something we'll discuss as well. All right. Anything else on transparency?
I would like to applaud Justice Kendrick.
Yeah, good job.
Okay. Good job.
All right, so I've got to move, I want to move on to the final topic, which is animal control, but Justice Pickett did ask me for a few moments on the committee. Do you want to speak to the committee? Did you have something you want to speak to us about?
Yes, but what other items do you want to have?
I'm going to go into a discussion about the animal control department, the proposed ordinance. So I didn't know how long your discussion was going to be. If you're going to have a short discussion, I'll be glad to work you in. But I don't want to put a time constraint on you.
No pressure, John.
Here's the deal. I don't have a clue what he's going to talk about. So that's why I'm hesitant.
You don't either.
All right, so just actually at a quick glance, this is going to lead us into our next topic, just to pick it, so that's fine. So you're actually in order to have this discussion. So I'll move on to this topic. So the floor is yours, sir.
The proposed ordinance is under consideration creates another department, which is an expansion of government. And it's an animal control department with a list of functions and duties, and it's going to require hiring at least one person. The budget is for $70,000, and it's going to come from the animal control funds. A $70,000 budget will pay an employee about $50,000 because our markup is 40% above salary with all related benefits. This person doesn't have an office. It doesn't have an automobile and all the related expenses. So we're looking at something more than $70,000 to get this animal control department up and running. My draft ordinance that you have before you is instead of creating a department, we create a board. And the county has had good luck with the library board, with the museum board, and the public facilities board. They operate just fine. The difficulty of having a department is that all of the rules and regs of the department are going to have to come to the quorum court for its consideration. The members of the quorum court are going to have to decide on the kill, no kill. They're going to have to decide on spayed and neutering. All of the operational problems are going to have to come to the court for it's brought to the court by the by this whoever runs the department. We're going to have to hire somebody to manage the department, and that person, either he or she, is starting from ground zero. Mr. Higgins knows as much about the animal control issue as anybody, as the rest of us in the room put together. So there's going to be a long delay of some period, at least some months, and I'll put that plural, to get this department up and running. And the operation of a board, the board can decide all the operational issues. And I've suggested that we have a five-member board. It has to be odd. Three is too many. 11, three is not enough. You might convince me that seven, but I'm not in favor of large boards. They cannot get their work done. So the idea here is to create an animal control board rather than an animal control department for a number of reasons that the county has had very good experience with the library, museum, and the public facilities board. So that's the nature of it's a board versus a department issue, and that's the way I want to characterize it. And that, Mr. Higgins, ends my summary.
Thank you, Justice Pickett. All right, so I'll start off with the committee members. You may or may not have had a chance to breeze through this. Any questions or comments for Justice Pickett, or I'll open it up for discussion.
I've got one question right off the bat. Earlier we kind of talked about, you know, the separation of powers. How are we going to be delegating and telling a department how they should be running their operations? It would be our job to fund that department. So whether it's a kill or no kill, or how they run that department or what they choose to do, once we've appropriated that money, that would be on that executive or department head or whoever is running that. Is that not correct? So early, I mean, you said that we would be doing that, and that's why I'm asking, is that really correct? We're going to be telling that department how to operate?
Yes, because that department has got to come to the quorum court for approval.
I mean, we fund it, but making those management, we would be making those management decisions for them. It's been my understanding from the beginning that is not what we do.
In the end, you would, because the department head would ask you, do you want me to make it or do you want to make it?
I guess the point would be, it would, based on the original ordinance, it would depend on who that department head is going to report to.
Right.
Which was part of the discussion that was going to have to be had on the original ordinance, is who does this employee report to? I mean, in essence, it's either going to report to the county judge or the sheriff, one of the two. I think that was open for discussion.
I guess I have another comment, too. This specifically calls out working to obtain a county animal shelter. Currently, the ordinance that we've been operating under does not do that. It says we can pursue I don't remember the exact verbiage. I could probably look it up. But basically, it's more open-ended on the solutions that we can come to, which some of them were discussed at our last specific animal control meeting, which is contracting with a city government entity or with a 501c3 to take animals so the county wouldn't have to incur this expense, even whether that be long-term or initially. So I guess I have concerns about that now we've determined in overriding a separate ordinance that this is what we're going to do, when that's, I don't know what assumption other than drafting this makes us think that's the answer to solve this problem.
I think we need to remain consistent in our terminology. You know, going back to the first one that was passed that created the millage, you know, it has that terminology in there, something about animal control or something like that.
Animal control and welfare.
And I would love to see that right here, you know, doubled in the same sentence that Chris is talking about. That's what we're all striving for.
Yeah, it talks about, I looked it up here specifically, it talks about support and operation of programs sponsored by Faulkner County concerning animal welfare and control.
I have a question for Councilor Hogue. With an ordinance like this, and it, say we create this administrative board and they solve all of our problems, and how do we abolish an ordinance like this? Do we repeal it, or do we put something in here saying that when the judge chooses to do so, he can dissolve this
You could put a sunset clause in that. You could say that when the board accomplishes points X, Y, and Z, that they will no longer cease to exist. One thing that you could do, and since I was drafted up both of these, you've got two competing ordinances right now. One would create the department, and one would create the board. Ideally, you don't have to choose between those two. That's something to understand, because it's possible that you could create a board to, and the board, if you read your ordinance in front of you, the board would have a veterinarian, it would have three animal control people. You would try to find the three animal control people from different factions of the animal control world, and then you would have a vet and a financial person. I know a financial person that's involved in it already. So the board would be a non-paid entity that's coming up with whether we need a department or not, and whether we need a shelter, or someone even mentioned to me recently whether the Faulkner County Animal Control Board might, instead of forming a one Faulkner County animal shelter, might want to help the municipalities create an animal control shelter for each municipality, and the board overlooks the whole thing. There's all sorts of possibilities, and so far what we've had is an advisory board that hasn't been officially formed, and they've given some good advice. This would be putting together an administrative board that has the power to contract. They would want to be a 501c3, and they have some actual teeth to either function on their own, or to recommend to the quorum court that we create a department and go that way. You could even put these two ordinances together and have a board with the task of either running an animal control shelter or after 3 years, creating a department. There's lots of options here, and I think what Mr. Boyer is trying to accomplish is have one cook in the kitchen, which is certainly admirable. And what Mr. Pickett is trying to accomplish is putting all these factions together, and instead of, like I said about the committee on jail stuff earlier, instead of all the controversy coming to the quorum court, controversy would come to the board. They would figure stuff out and come up with solutions instead of bogging down the quorum court in these problems. Just like the criminal justice committee, this would be a board of the stakeholders in the animal control world rather than some elected officials who don't necessarily have a stake in that other than their constituency.
So the jurisdiction would fall, the answering person, I guess, would be the county judge. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
For the board?
For this board, yes.
Yeah, the board would be, like I said about the criminal justice thing earlier, that's a state committee or a state-organized committee. This would be a local government-organized board. The county judge would appoint these members. It would go through. We already have an ordinance that says how the, you know, people can, we publish it on the website and people apply to be on the board. County judge would appoint because it's an administrative board, and then that appointment would be subject to the quorum court's confirmation. Yes.
I've got a question, Mr. Ho. You just mentioned that this board would have the ability to contract. Is that something they can do under this state statute, because that is not listed under the duties and responsibilities?
Yeah, it's under the state statute. An administrative board, like the library board or the museum board or so forth, can if if one of our elected officials, if the sheriff wants to contract on behalf of the county, because he's a county official, it's got to be the county judge who contracts and binds the county money. John McGraw, however, there he is. John McGraw can, because he is part of the library, which is run by an administrative board, they can contract on their own. They don't need the judge to sign the contract.
Okay. I was just wondering.
It's a little bit independent of the judge if it's an administrative board. If it's a directorship, then, and I'm not on one side or the other, I wrote both of them, but if it's a directorship, then it's answering to the sheriff or the county judge. If it's a board, it's its own entity that can solve their own problems for the most part.
Thanks for the clarification.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here is my recommendation on the suggestion is that we forward these to the animal shelter quorum court meeting that will be later this month. So I think this committee is doing its due diligence to bring ideas up to discuss among the full court. So there's lots of questions that we've already asked tonight. You know, here's part of the danger that we have of discussing it tonight. There's no representative from the county judge's office. The judge is not here. County administrator is not here. So we could discuss this and everything. They have some skin in the game. You know, the sheriff and the chief deputy are not here. So I'm sure everything that we'll say that Ms. Woolley be glad to share that information. But I don't think she's willing to speak for the sheriff, not to put you on the spot. So they will be at that quorum court meeting, that special call meeting for animal control. So we can discuss this and ask further questions and be prepared to discuss it for the end. I think courts and public safety could help lead that discussion in. But my recommendation is to forward it to that meeting.
I have one concern or question for you. So I'm going back to the ordinance that we looked at last go-around that creates the department.
Right.
Right. I feel like if we forward this or pass it out of committee to the full quorum court, then potentially it could be voted on and approved by that full quorum court animal meeting. That's my concern, because I don't like it the way it is.
No, so I don't like it. There are issues with both of them.
If they wanted to talk about it, they should have showed up and talked about it, you know, if they wanted. I see what you're saying as far as having more people there. But it was on the agenda, and they could have showed up and talked about it if they chose to do so, you know.
Yes. So, okay, so let's open this up a little bit. So my concern primarily for the original ordinance, Justice Boyer's ordinance is it's heavy on the judge's office, and we've got no input from the judge. And here's the deal. I'm going to be very transparent with this. We can make all the ordinances we want to, and if we don't have his buy-in, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. We've already seen that the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. All right, so having that discussion here tonight is an issue. As far as we can be prepared for it, but having it there. So I think the board issue, very similarly, he's going to be the county judge would be selecting the board members as required by board rules, and then we would confirm all that. Again, there's some skin in the game. So if we want to have some discussion around fine-tuning this a little bit, I don't have a problem with that at all.
I don't even want to fine-tune it. I just want to drop it like it's hot.
Drop it as in?
Drop it. I'm good to scrap it. I don't even have to talk about it in full court. I don't want to create another county department at this time. I don't think that's where we're at. And I think at committee meetings is when we need to have the conversation.
I agree.
So that's why I'm hesitant to bring it to a full court meeting to have the conversation, even though it's more animal, even though it's a specially called animal control meeting.
So let me go back to the gentleman's agreement type of situation. I don't think the animal, the special call meeting for animal control is, even though it would bring a quorum and we could pass an ordinance, I don't think that's the intent.
Okay.
And so I would argue that's not now. I could always be outvoted.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, that's that word. But I think the gentleman's agreement is for us to be able to discuss it with all the interested parties specifically on that, so that we can have you know when we're in a full court meeting and we discuss the topic, oftentimes we get 10 or 15 minutes on it. So if we're going to have these special called animal control meetings, have our solid hour or hour and a half to discuss that, and I would certainly push back on passing ordinances during those meetings. There's nothing legally that would prevent us, but that's something that we would have to consider. That's just my guidance.
I've got a question. Would it be possible to table this ordinance in committee and have Justice Pickett give an overview in that meeting to discuss what he's proposed in this ordinance that would still be in committee, to have that discussion with the judge there? We can kind of talk about it, but it still hasn't moved out of committee. I think that might alleviate some of Justice Lahosky's concerns about this.
We could actually, this committee could actually vote to go ahead and bring these up in that meeting and for the sole purpose of consideration. And then after that discussion, bring it back to this committee. Which is pretty much we could do that.
That sounds better to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So our recommendation then tonight, and I would entertain a motion, so let me wordsmith this for a moment, would be to present it to the special called animal control meeting for the purpose of discussion. And then after that discussion, we would bring it back to this committee to fine tune it based on that discussion.
That sounds good.
Did y'all like that?
I think I'm halfway lost, but I'm
all right. So I would entertain that motion.
I will make that motion.
I will second it.
Okay. We're going to present it to the special call meeting.
When you say it, are you talking about the board?
Both. We're both of them.
Okay, both of them. That's
yes.
What I wanted to clear on the record.
Yes, we're going to bring them both up
right.
For review for the full court in that special call meeting for discussion purposes. And so that we can then, based on that discussion, bring it back to committee.
And I do have one specific too, so don't forget
it. I got it. All right, so all those in favor, so I have a motion. I did have a motion and second.
Sorry.
Motion and second. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so that will move forward. All right, Justice Kendrick, so we have one additional ordinance to look at regarding spay and neuter, so I'll turn the floor over to you.
Thank you, Justice Higgins. I'm basing this ordinance off the discussion that we had during the specific animal control and welfare quorum court meeting. We kind of discussed establishing a pilot spay and neuter program for the county. Everybody in the meeting seemed to like that. Even the audience from the quorum court members, even the county judge expressed interest in that. And basically what I'm trying to do tonight with this ordinance is bring it up. And I'll just read the title. I'll let Justice Hogue read through the sections and then we'll go on to discussion. But basically it's an ordinance ensuring a pilot spay and neuter program for Faulkner County.
Okay.
You don't have it? You got it.
This ordinance will establish a pilot spay and neuter program for Faulkner County. The program shall be funded from the voluntary animal control and welfare tax fund. This ordinance authorizes $50,000 for the county judge to establish a free and low-cost spay and neuter program for cats and dogs. This program shall be available to residents in Faulkner County that are not in Conway city limits. The program shall run for 12 months from the adoption of this ordinance. At the end of the 12-month program, data will be compiled and presented back to the quorum court on the results of this program so it can be evaluated for future continuance.
Thank you, Mr. Hogue. Mm-hmm. And basically, what I'm presenting here is a funding ordinance that would allow us to move forward with the spay and neuter program. We discussed some of the benefits of that at the last meeting. Some of those benefits long term, if we could get this going, get it established, a spay and neuter program for the county, I think ultimately that's one of the ways to cut down on the populations long term. So if we could pump some money into this, I thought $50,000 was a good round number. There's no scientific backing for it. It just gives us a lot of different options. Some of those options that we discussed during the last meeting, we're potentially partnering with companions, potentially holding events like weekend or week-long drives, having vets bid or give input on the prices that they could charge for that. So there are options out there. Those were some of those that discussed, and this would basically just appropriate funding if it moves forward to establish that, because we don't have to have a committee. We don't have to have a department to do this. It's something that there are entities within the county and vets that this is their bread and butter. They are spay and neutering. And I think it's a way that we could address this and start moving on it now. And this is just one component of that puzzle. So if any of the committee has questions or concerns, feel free.
So just a second, Jack. So a couple questions. Number one, have you had a conversation with the county judge specifically on this?
No, sir, I have not. So like I said, it was just based on he expressed interest. Like he said, I thought that might be a good idea. So this would appropriate funding for him to pursue that if he wanted to.
Okay, so that's what it does. Section 3 authorizes $50,000. So it doesn't, of course we couldn't anyway, but doesn't make him do
anything.
Right,
right.
We've authorized $30,000 for other things that haven't been spent. We authorized it. That doesn't mean you have to do it. So my first recommendation would probably be that I would recommend having a conversation with him to see if he is. Because if we have the conversation with him and he says, I'm not interested in this, then we may have wasted some time.
Right.
I'm not saying that that's what he'll say. I'm not speaking for the judge at all.
Right.
I'm saying that's probably would be fair to have that conversation between now and when we bring up to him to see if he's interested or not, and he may have some input. That's a suggestion. Secondly, I think as we do this, it would probably be fair to have a discussion with him or the county administrator to see how we would facilitate this. So there's some how we do it. Again, this authorizes us to do it, not necessarily how we do it. That's okay. We don't have to say how we do it, but I think that's fair to have that discussion, how we do that, so that we can say we want to prevent ourselves from throwing money at a problem. I think this is a good idea. We just want to make sure that we're not just throwing money at a problem, that we have a plan, or at least somebody is going to develop the plan.
And I will tell you, I've spoken with the folks at Companions, and they were interested in coming to the next full meeting and discussing some of their capabilities, what they're doing within their program, and potential options if something was established looking
at that.
That's
exactly what I'm talking about. A little more legs to it.
Yeah, they seem to be prepared to come talk to that at our next meeting if the court would like to hear that. They express interest in doing so. So that would be one of the options that was discussed. I know the vet one was thrown around too. But
all right. So one other thing. This is just a protocol issue and everything, but it authorizes $50,000 for the county judge to do this and everything. Probably more of a process, but it may need to go through Budget and Finance Committee since it's actually appropriating money. I'd have to think on that and see. I think everything else that we have done, like purchasing the animal shelter, even the $30,000, we did run that through Budget and Finance since it's appropriating out of that.
I wasn't completely sure because I know during our first meeting we hadn't established any committees yet. We approved appropriations funds, so I didn't know if this was something that we could potentially take to that full court meeting to discuss. That's
right.
Potential.
Okay. So, just a second. Any other questions from the committee?
This is going to conflict with the ordinance that I am presenting later tonight.
Okay. All right. So So I may want to bring that up then so we can talk about it at the same time. Okay, Jack, I know you raised your hand first.
Well, just one question. You said in the ordinance that you're exempting people from the city?
That's what it says.
The way it's currently written, yes.
So you're saying that people from Bologna and Greenbrier, as well as Conway and Guy and any other incorporated area of the county, can't use that?
No, that's not what this says. This says specifically Conway. Yeah, because Conway hasn't established shelter, so that's... I'm not saying it's the right way. I'm not saying it's the best. It's just the way I drafted it. So
Available to residents in Faulkner County that are not in Conway city limits. So. Yeah. Ms. Donna?
Well, yay. Spay and neuter, that's something that I got to be involved in that conversation because we have something in the works right now. Stone County just did a spay and neuter. It was a three-day event. They have vets that come in, and there's a cost of about $15,000. But they also have the vets on staff. You're manned by volunteer rescue groups. They did 288 cats and dogs in this three-day period. That would be really efficient use of time. Companions is wonderful, and then they're not open like on Fridays and Saturdays, and we have thought about seeing if we can get vets to go into Companions when they're not using the facility, and then we can maybe get their vets and hire, there's several vets that have volunteered to come in and help like that. So we're thinking on the same thing, try to get rid of some of the problem, and that's going to help our shelter when we get our shelter built.
Very good. Ms. Gregor?
I'm sorry if I missed it, but does the $50,000 indicate specifically from the animal welfare funds?
Yes, ma'am. Section 2, the program shall be funded from the Voluntary Animal Control and Welfare Tax Fund.
Excellent.
Yes, ma'am.
Sounds like a good program.
So, actually, after listening to Ms. Donna on this, really the duties of this would be to appropriate the money and less concerned about how it happens. I guess it's just the operational side of me is that we appropriate the money and something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it's appropriate to probably at least have a conversation with the judge. So here would be my question. Do you want to run this for the next meeting, or do you also want to bring this up in the animal shelter discussion for the full court, discuss that, and then based on that feedback, we could send it back to committee and have it prepared for the March meeting and pass it?
I personally would really like to discuss this during the full meeting. So
in the full meeting?
Yes, sir.
Justice Boyer, so before I do anything else with this, you say you have something that may compete or be an attribute to this?
Yes, sir.
Are you prepared tonight with it?
I am.
You have the floor.
I presented the ordinance, the original ordinance for the animal welfare, animal control, excuse me. And since then, I've spent several hours with the counselor, Hogue, and we have tweaked this. You need one? We have tweaked this ordinance. Anybody else need one? Justice Pickett, let me see if I have one.
Justice Boyer?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you continue, and I'm going to take 2 minutes. They are taking my dad to the emergency room. I'm just going to do a quick phone call. I'm not going to emergency. Give me a minute. I think it's all good.
I should help you. You old folks can't do it. Give you a chance to look at that while I separate the paper clips, staples, whatever it is. All right. I think I'll just sit down. I'll preface everything I'm going to say by qualifying. I am not pro. I'm not in favor of increasing the size of government. But this is something we need to be looking at very, very acutely. Last month, Chairman Higgins gave an impassioned presentation of the timeline for the animal control ordinance. It's starting in 2005. 2005 was when this first started. And it's 2019, 14 years later, and we're still discussing it. It's time to stop kicking the can down the road. It's time to make a decision about doing something. I kind of feel like that there's, Ms. Clausen, I kind of feel like there's probably many in your group, along with me, that are suffering from a little bit of battle fatigue and maybe quite a bit of frustration. It's time to stop kicking the can down the road. I'm not in favor, before I confuse anybody, I'm not in favor of an animal shelter. I'm not opposed to an animal shelter. My position is we need to make resolve on this. We need to make resolve. What are we going to do? We cannot piecemeal one or two or three spay and neuter, no kill, animal ID. We can't piecemeal this for the next 14 years. It's where we're going to be if we do this one thing at a time. Let's do a department. The ordinance here is to propose.
Just Boyer, if I may, would this not need to go to personnel committee?
Eventually, if it comes out of this.
Okay.
But I don't know that it will have to go to personnel committee either, because I'm not proposing hiring a person. I'm proposing creating a department, which becomes part of the executive part of government, and the executive part of the government will take care of the personnel issues. not the quorum court. We won't be involved with hiring anybody. We'll be involved with creating a department. The department will be staffed by an administrator. The administrator has duties to take care of. If the administrator decides that we do not need an animal shelter, then there's other options that the administrator can still do. Spay and neutering, da-da-da-da-da. Even without an animal shelter. If the administrator would decide that we need an animal shelter, the duties are here spelled out in the ordinance, what would happen with the animal shelter. Like I said, I'm opposed to creating government, increasing the size of government, but we've got 14 years, Ms. Clausen, of boards and committees, and we're going to do this, and we need to do that. How about us thinking about this? It's time to stop kicking the can down the road and make some resolve on what we're going to do. I have also the administrator part of it we were talking about. I contacted
Nancy Thomas.
Ms. Thomas, who is the HR director for the County of Faulkner, and she has compiled a job description of all things. Can you imagine that? HR doing a job description for an animal control administrator. The animal control administrator may or may not follow these to the T. I don't know. I don't know, but that's what the animal control administrator will decide how much of this can. The job description's out there. It's not rocket science. It's available. It can be done. To think that we're going to. The idea, and Justice Kendricks, the idea of starting a spay and neuter program is excellent. I concur with Ms. Foster. But 6 months from now, are we going to add one more thing? In 6 months, are we going to add one more thing? We're going to drag this out for another 14 years if we do it one thing. Let's get it done. Let's resolve what to do and get it done. The money that's allocated here, I have allocated $70,000 to initiate this for the administrator, a part-time administrator, and that can take care of funding the operational costs of the administrator and the administrator's salary. A part-time employee, I don't know what the HR recommendations are for a part-time, but I think we probably, by having a part-time individual, don't have to meet the same stringent requirements we do for a full-time individual. I can be corrected if I'm wrong on that. I don't know.
You don't have to provide the health insurance and the life insurance. You don't have to provide those benefits for a part-time employee as long as they work less than 30 hours a week. You do have to provide retirement and, you know, workers' comp and Social Security matching. Those things would be required.
By having the department, Chairman, by having the department, it takes it away from the oversight of the quorum court and puts it into the executive portion of county government, which is under the purview of the county judge. If there's a building that's going to be required for an animal control shelter, who's going to be in charge of that anyway? The county judge is going to be. He's going to be in charge of the personnel in the county. That's what he does. That's part of what he does. It relieves the quorum court from having to make day-to-day decisions on a month-to-month basis. An administrator can talk to somebody for whatever question, and I don't have any idea. You know more about it than I do. But the administrator can make a day-to-day decision much better than a five-person board can do. Five-person board's got to get together to make the decision. This person is in charge. That's it. I'm done.
All right. Thank you, Justice Boyer. All right. Committee, any questions or comments?
I have one question specifically. Why part-time? If this is the answer, why don't we just hire a full-time person? Why is it part-time?
if we hired a full, my thought is, like I said, I'm not for an animal shelter. I'm not against an animal shelter. If an administrator would decide that we do not need an animal shelter, then a part-time person is probably going to take care of jobbing all these other things out. I've already described in here. How about the protocol for how are you going to... suppose we utilize the current rescue foster groups and rescue groups now as part of people that will take care of the strays. That's been a part of the. How do we know who to call the next time something goes wrong? We use the Faulkner County. The Faulkner County has a toll policy format for picking up automobiles, and there's a list of people, and you go down that list, and the next person that's in line to tow a car or a truck or whatever is the one you call. The same thing could be applied with a foster group or a rescue group. They'd be on the list. They're the next one that has to come in. The idea that it's under the judge's purview, I spoke with the sheriff, and he's not here now. I have spoken with the sheriff. He would like to be able to be used on an as-needed basis, not to go out on every call. It's expensive to send the sheriff out to do a call on an animal. It takes a deputy or two out of the field for something that maybe the administrator could handle themselves without having to have the militia going out there, for lack of a better word. You don't always have the sheriff's department on the call. An individual can handle it. What was the other part of your question now? The cost?
It was...
Part-time, full-time?
Right, yeah, that was one concern.
If the administrator decides that we don't need a shelter and we're not going to have to employ people, we won't have to employ people if we don't have an animal shelter. If we build an animal shelter, we're going to have 8 to 12 people taking care of it. Go look at the Conway shelter. I've been there. Have you been there? I've been there. Spent several hours with Miss
Osborne.
Miss Osborne, yeah. I went through the shelter and I see how it works.
I mean, I guess I will say this is kind of what Justice Lahosky touched on earlier. I have similar concerns with this plan as I do Justice Pickett's plans because they're expanding government. They're creating new departments that could potentially need new funding streams in the future. Whereas now, and I know this isn't the intent of this, but if you break this down into project size chunks that we can tackle now, we can start a spay and neuter program pretty quick. I don't see why we couldn't. I mean, we could appropriate the funding. Now, whether it gets started or not is an executive action. We can't determine that. Same thing, and that's some of the discussion we had in our last animal control and welfare. Maybe right now we don't need to build a shelter. Maybe the answer right now, because everybody I've talked to, and I've went and visited shelters outside the county, I've talked with groups within the county, whatever, if we built it, whatever we determine that is, whatever size you build it, it's going to be full like that. Maybe the answer right now is that we need to contract with one of these entities. I don't see a reason why we couldn't do that. We've got $1.5 million. I don't see why we couldn't go to one of these 501c3s, why we couldn't go to a county or a city and contract. We're a good-looking date to these entities because we've got funding for this. Maybe the answer right now is let's start getting these dogs somewhere, and we do that through a contract with one of these entities. So that's why I don't mind passing this along like we did the other one, like Justice Pickett's, to talk about at the committee, but I've got major concerns with both these because, you know, I personally what I ran on was coming up with creative solutions to not expand government, to assist those people that are passionate about it, like Ms. Clausen and the other entities that are out there doing it. We've got funding. Let's help them do it. I mean, those are just some of my concerns about that one and Justice Pickett's proposal. We've been waiting a long time. I mean, there's no reason that this court cannot appropriate the money, and then it's out of our hands at that point. It's going to be on the executive to go do something. That's kind of where I am on that.
The answer to your question is the ordinance covers contractors. It's in the ordinance. The ordinance also covers spay and neuter programs. It's in the ordinance. If there's not a shelter, Part B says establish a spay and neuter program. What you're suggesting is already in the ordinance.
Except you're expanding government, we're hiring, we're spending more of that money, where, at least from where I'm sitting and looking at this, we don't have to do that to address these issues. Same thing with Justice Pickett's. We don't have to create a board. We don't have to hire somebody. That's just my personal opinion. I'm only one of 13 legislators, but that's just my concerns.
I'm finished.
Okay, so here are my recommendation. Let's open this up for discussion. So I kind of allowed Justice Boyer to come in on top of what we were initially discussing, which is your spay and neuter ordinance. So bring it back. So what we have is initially we had Justice Boyer's first pass, what I'm calling it, first pass, and then second pass, the one you just presented, that's like the second edition, so an updated version. And then we have Justice Pickett's recommendation regarding the board. We've already decided that we're going to discuss those before the committee. My concern, Justice Kendrick, is we have some competing issues that may very well impact this.
Right.
I don't think that anybody disagrees that this is a bad idea. Agrees or disagrees. I don't think anybody agrees that this is a bad idea. The double negative.
I wasn't going to say
that. Yeah, I wasn't even sure what I said myself there for a minute. But I do think that the competing issue is we've got $70,000 impacted here, maybe or maybe not a financial issue with Justice Pickett's plan, and then we've got $50,000 here. So we've got $120,000 kind of cooking around in here until we narrow it down. My recommendation would be, to push this to that full court meeting and not vote on it at this next quorum court, the regular quorum court session, since these are open for discussion. For example, to Justice Boyer's point, if the court was decided at some point to go with the department head, probably one of the first things that they would want to do is address this. So it's not like it would delay that. Potentially, if we went with the board, could be one of the first things that they recommend is to go with this. So that would be my thought. I'm just one committee member here. Anybody disagree on the committee?
By the looks of things, this meeting needs to start about 3 p.m. so we can get by midtime.
I think we need to be prepared to spend some time to talk about it. You're exactly right. Here's the difference. Here's the difference that I got to tell you that I'm excited, and I hope Ms. Dawn is too, is that we've got some ideas that we've not had in the past. So we've got some legitimate ideas that we can bring up to discuss that we can move this forward. It behooves us as a committee and as a court not to kick these things around for the next 6 or 7 months. I know that
I'm going to be honest. My initial thought on anything animal-related is, I wonder what Ms. Clausen thinks about that. Because she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There are some good ideas. Which one's the best? That remains to be seen.
All right, so we have this proposed ordinance before us regarding spay and neuter. So I'm holding it in my hand. We still have to do something with it.
I have another point of discussion.
Okay.
If I'm allowed.
Yes, please.
All right. So right now, your ordinance that you brought right here, it basically outlines, it says we need to hire somebody to make these decisions, right? We need to hire somebody. When we don't have someone hired, such as this, to make decisions in an administrative function going forward, Councilor Hogan, this may be a question for you. Do those default to someone? Do they default to the county judge to make decisions whenever we don't hire someone specifically to do that?
Yeah.
So we have someone right now who can be making these decisions, who can be doing these things, but they're not. And so I think what Chris is saying with his ordinance is, we're going to have to do the same thing, even if it's done by this person. We're going to have to pass the same ordinance that says it's appropriation ordinance is all it is. It's $50,000 that we're moving here to there so that someone can spend it. We can do that right now, and someone can spend it right now. They just have to spend the time in coming up with a plan, and that's what hasn't been done in the past. That's what we've been waiting on. That's what we've been waiting. And I just don't think that we need to hire someone to do that while we already have someone who can do that right now. They may need to pull in some expertise to talk to some people who know what they're talking about, but we have someone to do that, and they get paid $78,000 a year, you know.
Yes, Ms. Donna.
one thing I'd like to just throw into the conversation is there is still a Faulkner County Animal Shelter Advisory Board that was appointed by Judge Baker. And we spent years going to different shelters, and Mr. Higgins was, he knows as much about what's going on as anyone does. But you do have that committee, and on that committee you do have some expertise. You have a financial person. You have, you know, we have some of the different areas that you're interested in. But we also have come up with two or three plans, but when you get down to specifics like a spay and neuter program, we can get that done. But our plan, we couldn't say this is a size shelter we wanted because we always had that. Is Conway going to come in? Is this going to happen? Or, you know, all that. And if you gave us that charge that we're going to do this and we're going to do this, we can come up with specific plans.
I think that's what this $50,000 does. It frees up the money for you to come up with a spay and neuter plan
we're trying to do that spay and neuter plan, but we're kind of doing it on our own. $50,000 would be unreal, and we could do a lot with that. But I'm just saying, you say Faulkner County Advisory Board or the Friends of the Faulkner County Animal Shelter, you do this, we won't cost you a penny. We'll do that.
We appropriate to the judge, and like you said, you're an advisory for the judge, and the judge could pull you in and y'all do your thing. We don't have to worry about that. We just have to move money around so you can spend it. And that's what I want to hear.
You can
we want to give you the money.
That's what the intention of my specific ordinance is.
There's not an animal in Faulkner County that's safe from us if you turn this one.
So the judge can spend that money. Yeah. You know, because when you don't create a department, like this does, when you don't create a department, I think it's de facto to the judge. Counselor Hogue, would you agree?
You're right.
Okay.
So, Justice Lehowski, you actually hit some key points on there. It does have to do, that's why I think it's important, we have the discussion at the animal shelter meeting of things so that we don't speak for the judge. One of the issues that Counselor Hogue and I have been working on for some time, completely separate, is the sanitation ordinance. Who wants to own that? I mean, the judge doesn't want to own it. The sheriff doesn't want to own it. There's some issue. There's some challenge. I don't want to speak negatively of either one. That's not what I intend. But that's a challenge. We need to make sure that there's buy-in with this, with any of these plans, with them. So that's why I think it's important we have that discussion.
And like I said, this was just, you know, everybody kind of expressed interest. This could be an idea. So this is trying to put something in motion because I know Ms. Donna could spend the money. I want her to spend the money. I want these animals to get spayed and neutered. I think it's a good start. I think we can start soon. I know Companions. I've talked with them. I've toured the place. They expressed interest. They said, hey, we'll come talk at the next full meeting if you want, you know, if they'll allow us. And I said, I'll see.
All right. So, yes, ma'am.
I just have one comment. And I just appreciate both of y'all, Justice Pickett and Justice Boyer, because down the road we do need some place for the sheriffs to bring them. It may be bigger government, but we have fire departments, we have police departments, we have other agencies that cost money. We're just saying that down the road, and I don't want to kick that can that far down the road, it has been, like Justice Boyer said, it's been a long time. What are we doing with dogs that nobody brings them in and they're out there in packs? So a spay and neuter program is wonderful, thank you, but it doesn't solve everything.
No, it's just one component. Yeah. I mean, it's just one piece of the pie, so...
All right, so I'm going to make a suggestion, which is different than a recommendation. Okay, so just don't try to different than a recommendation. So my suggestion is the spay and neuter deal, the spay and neuter proposed ordinance, that we table it for the full meeting. Let's see how this discussion goes, and depending on how this discussion goes, if it looks like it's not going or if it gets postponed, we can bring this up and implement it immediately. The March meeting, unless you want to bring it up next Tuesday, that's an option as well.
I would like to have my ordinance considered along with these other two in the discussion. I think it should be a part of it. I think it's a viable option.
I agree.
That doesn't expand any government, that appropriates the money to address something now, which is one component that we need to make happen to get all this happening, to get the other pieces moving. I think it could bring significant progress right now, so I would like it consideration with the other two as well.
Okay, so all right, so I'm going to put those with that, and they will be on the agenda for that meeting to be considered equally with those two. Okay, so I don't know that I really even need a motion for that. Okay. I can just do that.
I do have one question, procedural question for it. Since the earlier with what we did with Justice Pickett, is that what we're doing with these other two? Do we need to do that as well?
We can. I'll entertain a motion to table this one with these two.
Okay, and then to take those just for a discussion point to the full Animal Quorum Court meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
So that we have those for discussion, and based on that discussion, we'll bring it back to full court to process it. I mean, to courts of public safety to process it. So I'll entertain that motion.
I'll make a motion to do everything we just discussed.
Okay. Second?
I'll second it.
You guys following along?
It's hard, but I trust you.
We're taking it for discussion, not to be voted on, just to discuss, and then we'll come back to committee for whatever action we take after that.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Does anybody else have any surprises for me I wasn't aware of?
I've got seven ordinances.
That's a shock. All right. Gentlemen, I appreciate all of you and ladies that have engaged tonight, and the audience to engage and stayed this late and pay attention. I really appreciate your effort on that. If there's nothing else for this committee, yes, sir.
I didn't expect to get mentioned tonight, but if anybody would like to see a robust administrative board in action, the library board is meeting Monday night, and they'd be happy to answer your questions about how they proceed, how they do things as opposed to parliamentary procedure, as opposed to locking themselves in statutes, how nimbly they can move when we have an emergency like leaking roof. Monday night at 5:30, y'all are welcome.
I encourage you to do so. I have met with them and members of the library board in times past.
The Conway Library.
So, well worthwhile. That's how I learned to be able to download books on my iPad. Pretty cool deal. So. All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We are adjourned. All right.
I'm about to get sleepy.